Despite, you know, all the horrors, the Democratic establishment was more incensed and up in arms about a leftist streamer stumping for a progressive candidate than they were about pretty much anything else this week.
What?
And hey, guess what? Prior to this week, I had never heard of Dr. Abdul El Sayed. Weird. It's almost like he's successfully campaigning for a seat in the Senate by aligning with people who will help publicize his race.
True. All publicity is good publicity. We all know that, right?
Maybe instead of running around like their hair is on fire and twisting themselves up in knots trying to cancel Hassan Piker, the Democratic establishment could take some fucking notes. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Today, we're breaking down what the fuck is going on with the Hassan Piker debate, and who he is, if you're like, Leija, I've never fucking heard of this guy, and why this discussion matters deeply for the future of this country. Hassan Piker is a 34-year-old leftist content creator who mainly is known for his live streams on a live streaming website called Twitch.
Wow.
He got his start in the media world through his uncle, Cenk Uygur of the Young Turks, a left-leaning news organization. He live streams every day for 8 hours a day from his home in Los Angeles, mostly watching and commenting on the news to his over 3 million followers on Twitch, and then reposting clips of the live streams across other social media platforms.
Wow.
His views have been described as far left, socialist, Marxist. He tends to espouse anti-imperialist, pro-worker, pro-Palestinian ideology. So, of course, he's been labeled a major threat.
We definitely chose some words and didn't choose other words there, but okay.
By the Democratic establishment. As recently laid out in a great opinion piece in The Guardian by Bhaskar Sankara, quote, Representative Brad Schneider branded Piker an unapologetic anti-Semite. Michigan's own Senator Alyssa Slotkin, a former Pentagon official, weighed in with her condemnation, as did Representative Haley Stevens, one of El Sayed's primary rivals. Another opponent, Mallory McMorrow, went so far as to liken Piker to Nick Fuentes, a white supremacist who has enthusiastically praised Adolf Hitler on camera. When Politico came calling, both Cory Booker and Ruben Gallego rushed to declare they would refuse an invitation to appear on Piker's stream. Again, at a time when we're fucking begging anyone in the Democratic establishment to do anything to stop the onslaught of horrific fucking atrocities being committed by our government, they are instead like, hey, we need to cancel this progressive Twitch streamer. This speaks volumes to two things.
One, nobody's talking about canceling him. So I don't know where that came from. I guess she's part of the lefty brain rot trust or whatever that has to carry these same talking points, which is effective. It's good. Again, this is exactly a mirror of what the MAGA people do. Nobody's trying to cancel him. They're just saying that this guy probably shouldn't be like seen as a Democratic Party supported person because of how extreme a lot of the stuff that he says is, right? His ideology.
Our government. They are instead like, hey, we...
Also, if you wanted the government to do anything about anything, you should have voted for more of them to be in office. But also, it's not like we have congressmen missing votes because they're running out to attack Hassan Piker as well. Like, this is such a weird, like, why are you doing this attack here? You should be focused on voting instead. It's like, what, are they missing votes in Congress? Are they skipping work to talk about Hassan?
Need to cancel this progressive Twitch streamer. This speaks volumes to two things. One, the
also progressive, LOL.
And to which our entire political and media establishment is bought out by Israel and AIPAC, the American...
True.
American Israel Public Affairs Committee, which I'll get into, and to the power that modern political commentators on social media have in America today. Maybe I'm biased, but I think I'm right. First, the primary objections that people have to Hassan Piker seem to stem from some controversial things he...
Oh! Are we going to get a good faith engagement with the issues that people have with the things that Hassan says? Or are we about to get the most sweeping out of context slop we've ever seen in our entire lives? Let's go. Good luck. No pre-watching.
...has said at various points throughout his career. Here's Dana Bash on CNN talking about it as though someone from AIPAC is holding a gun to her head just off screen.
Here's some of what he actually has said about the depravity of the October 7th terror attack, the deadliest day for the Jewish people since the Holocaust. Quote, it doesn't matter if effing rapes happened on October 7th. Like, that doesn't change the dynamic for me. The Palestinian resistance is not perfect. Now, let that sink in. Hassan Piker is excusing sexual violence by Hamas terrorists.
That was not the best thing to choose. But
he also claims Hamas is, quote, a thousand times better than Israel. Hamas is a designated terror organization, not just by the U.S., but by the EU, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, just to name a few. And here's what Piker said about the horrors of September 11th, 2001.
Not the best thing to choose, but...
America deserved 9/11, dude. Fuck it. I'm saying
this is unhinged.
Totally brought it on ourselves, dude. Holy shit. We did. We fucking did.
Now, Piker did...
Where's the Riz voice?
...inappropriate and said he didn't mean Americans deserved to die.
Let that sink in. Dana Bash is comfortable with Israel genociding the entirety of Gaza as retribution for the crimes of a few Hamas terrorists.
Oh, that's what I got from that. Oh, okay. That's what I understood her to be saying. Okay. Gotcha.
Crimes that Israelis also commit against Palestinians at staggering numbers. There is no question that Hamas engages in terrorist activities, and Hassan's flippant language around sexual violence is absolutely condemnable. But the global hypocrisy is also staggering, and something so much bigger than one person live streaming from his bedroom in Los Angeles. Hamas is condemned globally as a terrorist organization, and the atrocities its militants...
Are they? Really? Because I feel like most people are oddly silent about all of their activities, but okay.
...carried out on October 7th, including alleged rapes, some of which have been debunked as untrue, I'll note.
Very good hedges there. I wonder why people don't get the impression that you have the same heat for Hamas, but good one. Okay.
...have been pointed to as key evidence justifying this terrorist designation. Yet...
Excuse me? You think it was rapes done on October 7th that make Hamas terrorists? Are you crazy? Why? What kind of a statement is that? That's such a crazy thing to say.
At the same time, Israel is a legitimate state that deserves to exist and be protected. This despite a UN report from last year that found, quote, Israel has increasingly employed sexual, reproductive, and other forms of gender-based violence against Palestinians as part of a broader effort to undermine their right to self-determination and carried out genocidal acts through the systematic destruction of sexual and reproductive healthcare facilities. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It is very important to pay attention to who is being called a terrorist and who isn't, and by whomst. Israel violently colonizes land that is already occupied, creates a genocidal apartheid state. Both sides commit atrocities and violence against each other. One is a designated terrorist organization and the other is a state that has the right to self-determination. But you are not allowed to point that out in this country because every single politician and mainstream news organization is bought and sold by Israel and AIPAC.
I love how we just never, ever, 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 ever get just like any serious engagement with any of these arguments ever. All of it is thought terminating. All of it is fucking retarded. There's zero engagement with any of the actual arguments or any of the substance. It's always just like Israel, AIPAC owns it all. Genocide, pro-genocide, apartheid.
And so they lob the anti-Semitic accusation around and fearmonger anyone who might step out of line and speak out against the well-documented atrocities.
Wow. Can you imagine that? Fear-mongering over designations and then throwing anybody out that doesn't completely totally agree with you? Who does that?
Committed by Israel. The Hassan Piker problem is that he's outside this web of control and yet has amassed a lot of political power in this country because no one watches or trusts
Wait, he's amassed a lot of political power? I thought you just said he was just a random streamer, though, in LA in his apartment. Notice how they're doing like the fasci thing of like, because they always used to claim fascism. So like, my opponent is cast simultaneously as being an irrelevant nitwit who means nothing, but also the most powerful figure that can destroy everything at the same time. Like the fascists or whatever it is, everybody does this. And she's doing it right now.
Mainstream media anymore. Case in point, that CNN panel. I think it's also a testament to Hassan Piker's influence, the fact that he forced Dana Bash to contend with, on this CNN panel, the idea of Hamas as a terrorist org to begin with. For the longest time, we weren't even debating that. We weren't even debating Israel's legitimacy, at least not on the scale that we are now. And that has put a target on Hassan Piker's back, which I think is the age-old problem for famous leftist activists in this country. Actual avowed anti-Semites, white supremacists, neo-Nazis, skinheads, the KKK, far-right conspiracy theorists, they're running around successfully advocating for actual violence, and the people in the highest rungs of power are worried about a guy who's pro-worker and anti-imperialist.
What?
Who said a few problematic things about Israel and 9/11. They compare him to Nick Fuentes as though that's a fair comparison. One man is advocating for socialism and workers' rights and in favor of the marginalized and against billionaires. The other one...
It's such shameless slop. I wonder if these people feel ashamed at night. Like, do you feel like a disgusting human who is doing unapologetic slop PR for people with absolutely zero integrity as a human being? Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
One man is advocating for socialism and workers' rights and in favor of the marginalized and against billionaires. The other one openly denies that the Holocaust ever happened. Because the terrorists on the far right, the ones who actually carry out far more extremist violence than the left ever does, their terrorism is...
If you want a hot take, by the way, the October 7th denialism on the left is exactly the same type of anti-Semitic Holocaust denialism on the right. It is the exact same playbook. When you talk about Nazis and you talk about Holocaust revisionism, whatever, they don't actually give a fuck about the Holocaust. In fact, a lot of them will even say, well, yeah, it was definitely a genocide. I think the number is grossly exaggerated, but a lot of people were being genocided. It doesn't matter that the Holocaust isn't real. What matters is that Jewish people in positions of power have convinced you that it is so real and so important that it inhibits our ability to talk about anything else. We can't do anything about the Jews because they can always point to the Holocaust. That's the exact same playbook right now that lefties are using with October 7th. A third of the people killed were military people, like the Hannibal Directive. They killed their own people. Israel did, and we can't even talk about that. And like the rapes and everything else were exaggerated. Jews are manufacturing consent from Western society by abusing and utilizing October 7th in order to maintain control over our politicians and our media. It's the exact same trope. It's so annoying. Not to say that like there aren't people that exaggerate October 7th, or there aren't people that, you know, run crazy with it. Like, you can call these people out, you can criticize them. I think you should. But this is the exact same neo-Nazi-esque argument. It's so cringe.
Directed towards minorities. A person like Hassan Piker, someone who advocates for working people, for minorities, against the American imperialist experiment, he is genuinely a terrorist in the eyes of the 1%. To them, his ideas bring them terror. And that's...
Yeah, they do, because he's an open supporter of Hezbollah and fucking Hamas and the Houthis and Iran and North Korea. Yeah, not because he advocates for socialism. He advocates for socialism. Everybody's so scared of him because he has, like... Nobody's scared of that because it's not coming anytime soon because you fucking retards don't even try to get people elected. Who do you think socialism is more scary to, on average, the left or the right? Why is it that only Democrats talk about a
Hassan Piker, and nobody on the right seems to give a fuck, except for when they can use him to attack other Democrats. How often do you see Republicans going for Hassan? It's almost like he represents zero threat whatsoever to the Republicans.
The only kind of terror our establishment cares about, the terror of the 1%, because people like Hassan are advocating for them to be wiped off the face of the earth. To the 1%, taxes and regulations are their own personal genocide. Their existence as
Oh my God.
Billionaires can't withstand the types of ideas that a person like Hassan Piker advocates for. So that is what those in power are going to find most threatening. And
yet it's all anti-Semitic attacks against Hassan, huh? Kind of weird, huh?
Attempt to shut down, and they always have. And I think Hassan Piker and the debate we're having over him, as fucking annoying as all of this is, I think it's good for America. Now let me be clear about my own stance on Hassan.
Here we go. It's going to be, does he make some edgy jokes? Yeah, for sure. And because of her, I think she does like feminist content or whatever, and she might even go as far as to say some of the things he says are problematic or anti-feminist or misogynistic. She might go that far, but that's it. I won't discredit her because she has done videos in the past that I think are decently nuanced, even if I don't agree with them. Okay. Let's see if she actually critically engages with any actual criticism of Hassan. Let's see.
Present his ideas in a tactful, palatable way? Absolutely not. I find Hassan Piker to be incredibly off-putting most of the time. He reminds me of the guys I majored in poli-sci with in college who would talk over me at parties. I don't like the way he speaks to his audience. I don't agree with the brazen, insensitive way he talks about these issues. And I think live streaming lends itself really well to running your mouth.
Oh, and it's the live streamer's paradox. True.
Saying shit you later regret. That being said, Hassan has watched numerous of my videos on his live stream and only had nice things to say, and I appreciate that. And I think, for better or for worse, whether you like his content or not, Hassan Piker is meeting the people of America where they're at in a way nothing else on the left has managed to do. And of course, I don't mean all the people in America. I mean young men in America. The demographic everyone was most wringing their hands over during the 2024 election. The demographic we're all still wringing our hands over. I, like many people, recently watched Louis Theroux's new documentary, Inside the Manosphere. If you haven't seen it, journalist and documentarian Louis Theroux interviews various men who create content and who are part of the Manosphere, a loosely connected cohort of content creators who talk about being red-pilled in the Matrix, how to be real men, and how to be an alpha male, how to get women, how to look max, how to look as hot as possible. And I learned in the documentary also how to make money while you sleep by joining their Signal chat and downloading the stock trading apps they get commissions from by convincing
them. True. There actually are so many analogies you can draw to Donald Trump. She gives the same defense of Hassan that Trumples give of Donald Trump, right? Donald Trump tweets out, I am going to end a civilization today. Meanwhile, MAGA. Yeah, sometimes, you know, he can be a little bit edgy. And, you know, I don't really like that part of him. But, you know, what are you going to do? Like, it's the same fucking defense.
Their followers to join. The promise is that if you follow these men, they'll teach you how to be rich and handsome and get women. It speaks to this moment where the American dream is dead. It's harder than ever to provide for yourself, let alone a whole family. Men are isolated and lonely. Women no longer need them. And so they're turning to someone for guidance, for inspiration.
Does Hassan message at all to young men? Does he even do any of that? Hassan doesn't talk about social issues. It's all class-based politics and then fuck America and fuck the West. Where are all of the Manosphere Hassan Piker segments on his fucking stream? He didn't even engage with the space.
To tell them how to get what they want. To explain to them why they feel so shitty. And the Manosphere offers them the antidote. Many of these content creators live stream from their mansions in Ibiza or Miami, and a common
like what Hassan does?
Common form of content is them walking down the streets hitting on women, or pulling off more and more shocking stunts to get views and likes and virality. And if you watch Hassan Piker's content, and then you watch this Inside the Manosphere documentary, there are shades of the Manosphere in Hassan Piker's content. And before you think that I'm trying to cancel Hassan Piker, let me explain myself. Hassan Piker is brazen and often says things that have really high shock value, much like men of the Manosphere content creators universe who rely on doing drastic or shocking shit to get views and clicks.
This is like the most shallow, I don't know, man. I'm good.
Both attract attention. One is harassing women on the street or getting into physical altercations, while the other is calling into question America's imperialist warmongering by saying we deserved 9/11.
Wow.
Hassan Piker often takes his live streams on the road, followed by a cameraman and accompanied by his entourage. He's usually wearing a lot of jewelry and expensive looking clothes. The same happens in the Manosphere. One group is wandering around the streets of Miami hitting on women. The other is exploring communist China or the blockade on Cuba. Both are creating content for the same generation of men. One is perpetuating toxic tropes of masculinity and the patriarchy and reinforcing the glorification of the military-industrial complex and sending more and more men down the capitalist pipeline. If you just work hard enough, you can be like me, and you should value money and power above everything else. The other, Hassan Piker, is uplifting marginalized voices, breaking down ethno-religious supremacist ideologies.
Wait, ethno-religious supremacist ideologies? What's the other one besides the Jews? I'm sorry, what was the second one there? I heard an S at the... What other religious ethno-supremacist ideologies does Hassan talk about?
...king out forcefully against the billionaire class and questioning the imperialist nature of the United States as a whole in a way that speaks to young men and meets them where they're at. You might not be comfortable with the way in which men under 40 consume content, the content that they like, the tactics used to communicate with them, with the world as it is right now. That's okay. This content isn't for you. But the reality is that this is the world. This is the world the internet has created, for better or for worse. And I would sure as shit prefer young men to be questioning the geopolitical world order with Hassan Piker than learning how to hit on women on the Miami waterfront. You know what I mean? And this speaks to a larger issue with the Democratic Party, one that Naomi Klein lays out really well in her book Doppelganger, and that is that Democrats have a tendency to bury their heads in the sand and ignore the way things are, the real genuine issues people have with the system, instead of figuring out how to fit them within their larger tent. And Republicans and far-right conspiracy theorists are able to step in and fill that void. For example, anti-vaxxing and objections to COVID-era mandates, at least in part, come from a place of truth. It is not irrational or unfounded to question the pharmaceutical industry in this country, an industry that has profited off our death and off keeping us sick, instead of acknowledging
every single industry is like that. The real estate industry, the hotel industry that profits off of our wanting to not sleep outside and to be unhoused and homeless and freezing, or the food industry that profits off of our starvation, or the clothing industry that profits off of us freezing or dying of sunburn, or the fucking video game industry that profits off of our boredom. All healthcare profits off of human sickness. It's healthcare. It's supposed to help you when you're sick.
That, and that there are regulatory issues, and that there's good reasons why people might distrust big pharma, the establishment left wrote anti-vaxxers off as nut jobs and continued to cozy up to pharmaceutical
because they are nut jobs. What are you, my God?
Hobbyists, giving the far right an opportunity to swoop in and win over anti-vaxxers by acknowledging the truth that sent them down that pipeline to begin with. You're right. There is something fishy about how pharmaceutical companies operate in this country. That wins over trust that then becomes easy to exploit with lies and conspiracies. The same is true of young men and the manosphere. The manosphere is capitalizing on something that is true. Young men in this country are not okay. The economy is rigged against all of us. The patriarchy hurts everyone and makes them feel horrible about themselves because they can't be providers anymore. And the manosphere acknowledges that truth and then sends them down the toxic pipeline. You're right. Life is really hard. You are being exploited. That wins over trust that then becomes easy to exploit with lies and conspiracies. The manosphere tells them the way to win back your agency is through stocks and emotionally abusing women. Hassan Piker tells them that actually the billionaire class is the reason why your life sucks. Young men are seeking this shit out online, whether we like it or not.
I like how she gave the manosphere, which by the way, they're all victims. I like how at least she gave them some kind of agency. Like, what can you do to fix your problem? But Hassan tells you it's the billionaires and then nothing. But
the manosphere tells them the way to win back your agency is through stocks and emotionally abusing women.
Like, at least the manosphere give you some advice. Okay, abuse women, buy stocks. Got it. Going. On my way to the gym. Let's do it.
On Piker tells them that actually the billionaire class is the reason why your life sucks.
Oh.
Young men are seeking this shit out online, whether we like it or not. And they're not seeking it out from mainstream media. They're not seeking it out from even someone like me, a leftist, yes, but someone who's a lot more measured and doesn't do or say things that go particularly viral and is also a woman in her 30s. So sorry, but I'm not particularly intriguing to 20-year-old men, and I'm really okay with that. That's just the reality of the situation. And I don't know about you, but I'd far prefer a world where they jump onto the leftist Hassan Piker train than the manosphere death spiral. I think that's a net positive for America. And yet, the establishment Democrats, the legacy media, would rather shoot themselves in the foot than acknowledge that they need Hassan Piker in their tent. They would rather throw their weight behind attempting to cancel him than attempting to understand what it is about him that speaks to a base of people that they have been clamoring to win over, young men. They all of a sudden demand purity, to never associate with anyone who's ever said anything objectionable, while openly and vociferously supporting Israel, an apartheid state actively committing genocide while the world watches. Instead of attempting to figure out how to actually fit the entire left wing of this country in their tent, which is their burden in our fucked up two-party system, which would require acknowledging differences, having hard conversations, strategizing, open-mindedness, coalition building, they are once again alienating the entire left of their base, because this isn't just off-putting to Hassan Piker fans, it's off-putting to anyone outside left of center who wants to see the Democrats attempt to mend this party, take back power, and make the types of progressive changes that need to happen to ensure a Donald Trump figure never happens again in this country. And that requires addressing the truths that Donald Trump and the right have been willing to exploit, that billionaires are amassing wealth and leaving us to fight over the scraps, that life in America is about surviving and not thriving for the vast majority of Americans. Trump promised solutions to that and of course delivered nothing, but Democrats could actually step in and increase taxes on the wealthy, provide affordable health care and child care if they were willing to embrace progressive ideals and the people that come along with it. But they're not. Just like in Germany in the lead up to World War II, in America we are seeing the quote-unquote opposition party choose money over morals, cling to their elite friends, align themselves closer with the fascists than with the people.
Blaming, in case you missed that, she's not talking about the Nazis here. She's blaming the Social Democrats in Germany, just so you're aware of what's happening, of course.
Money over morals, cling to their elite friends, align themselves closer with the fascists than with the people, while just playing lip service to the concerns of the masses and doing nothing about anything, and then throwing us all under the bus in order to keep their power. So the discussion over Hassan Piker is about so much more than what we do with this leftist guy who live streams all day. It is a microcosm of how fucking broken this country is that we cannot even fathom how to include actual leftist progressive ideas that would actually help the masses. masses into our national political conversation, that we equate leftist progressivism as just as extreme and therefore bad as far-right extremism, as though they're equally at the same distance ends of the political spectrum, despite the fact that in many countries in Europe, there are people who espouse very similar values to Hassan Piker, who hold seats in parliament, whose democratic socialist parties are seen as center-left.
Anytime a Nazi comes up to you, these are the same statements, by the way, when Nazis come up to you and they're like, we need to defend our race like they do in Europe. And it's like, what do you mean by that? And it's like, well, in Europe, white people, you know, stick together. The white European people stick together. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro? White European? This is like this is an American concept. This concept of just a wholly white unified people. This is a very American. It's fucking retarded. Whenever you get these Nazi sloppers that say this. This is the lefty equivalent of that, is when you get these lefties that come up to you and they're like, Bernie Sanders in any country in Europe would be a centrist, by the way. Bernie Sanders would be center, center left. All of the European countries, they actually have huge socialist parties that have lots of seats. No, that's bullshit. That's not true. Bernie Sanders would be far left in every single European country. This is not true. This is bullshit. This is a fucking lie from people that don't know anything about any European government or anything about any European country or anything about anything other than the slopper shit that they force feed their audience.
Like, who and what we deem to be terrorists is dictated by bias and power dynamics. What we deem to be extremist political ideology in this country is also seriously biased and skewed. To characterize someone like Hassan Piker as extremist in the same way that someone like Nick Fuentes is extremist is an irresponsible, willful mischaracterization that is motivated by the same pro-capitalist, pro-billionaire bullshit that has gotten us into this situation to begin with. And the Democratic establishment is doing nothing but further alienating people when it attempts to cancel Hassan Piker and any progressive candidate who dares go—
Who's canceling him?
Go near him. And of course, there's also fretting about what about the centrists? What about the independents? It's true, there is a huge swath of this country that isn't particularly interested in quote-unquote progressive policies that do find Hassan Piker to be too extreme and may themselves be alienated by his ideas and past statements.
Fuck them.
What do we do about them? As with a lot of issues with the Democratic Party, this comes down to a messaging and strategy problem, something the Democrats notoriously fucking suck at. Of course, you don't bring Hassan Piker into every single room. He is a particular person who speaks to a particular demographic. You gotta know your audience, and you have to mold your message accordingly. And this is something that I think Bernie Sanders has mastered. You don't label shit progressive or far left or politically extreme. You just actually listen to people and what they want, and you provide them with solutions that make them excited about you as a candidate. And the solution tends to be get money out of politics and raise taxes on the 1% to help fund the government. Those are negatively labeled as progressive ideas, but they shouldn't be. Leveling the playing field for people so that billionaires can't rig the entire game isn't a progressive idea. It's pro-democracy. It just seems that there's zero creativity in these washed-up, dusty Democratic strategists out there that they just cannot come up with a single—
Zero creativity. Meanwhile, the messaging on their side, hate the billionaires, hate the capitalists, hate America, hate the big corporations for 15 years. They've got nothing. No political power, no policy, no nothing.
Way to get people excited about voting for Democrats. The only reason we're excited to show up and vote for Democrats in the midterms in November is because we're desperate for something less awful than this. The only reason I was excited to vote for Kamala Harris in 2024 was because she wasn't Trump and seemed less likely to completely fuck up the entire country and world order during her presidency. Can you imagine a Democratic candidate actually presenting you with ideas that you could get excited about because the ideas themselves are good? I mean, that's what happened in New York City. I said this last episode. Zoran Mamdani didn't harp on about how bad his opponents were. He presented a really exciting vision for what New—
You're talking about a guy who's just the mayor of a city versus people running for the most generalized federal office in the country, a president of the United States.
New York City could be. And yes, he even appeared on Hassan Piker's live stream. And what do you know? It didn't alienate everyone who doesn't love Hassan Piker.
First of all, this is very early when he was running. Also, secondly, he had to disavow it. What are you talking about?
It was one tactic of many that he used to actually talk to New Yorkers and understand who they listen to and what they care about and meet them where they were at. He didn't just talk to Hassan Piker. He talked to a lot of people. What's wild and crazy about being a politician is you actually have to communicate with and find compromise with people you don't agree with 100% of the time.
But meanwhile, you guys will literally cancel or excommunicate every single person who's not in lockstep with the most insane position on Israel-Palestine. Jesus.
That's actually a necessary piece of politicking. Zoran Mamdani did it while also seeming likable, approachable, and reasonable. And the Democratic Party demonized him for that too. Because again, they would rather cancel the candidate with the progressive ideas in order to align themselves with elite interests every single time. Which is why most Democrat Party candidates are fucking creeps who seem so completely disconnected from actual real life. They're not put in place for us. They're put—
True. Unlike Plattner, who's like a real relatable down-to-earth guy with the fucking Nazi tattoos that he just didn't know what they were for 15, 20 years, okay?
Put in place by the elite interests who want to control the narrative and keep their power. So when someone like Hassan Piker comes along who cannot be controlled and in fact seems to revel in shaking things up and pissing people off, and then a candidate like Dr. Abdul El-Sayed actually dares to bring Hassan into the fold and treat him like the influential political actor he is, the Democratic establishment has to swoop in and nip that in the bud before it gets so out of control that people start actually learning about, understanding, and wanting these extremist progressive ideals. Until we vote these elitist creeps out of office and find better alternatives, this is what we're stuck with in this country. And the way things are going, it is people like Hassan Piker who are going to have to do the actual political work of convincing people that progressive ideas actually aren't that extreme after all.
What do we got?
When I ran for mayor, I said I was going to tax the rich. Well, today, we're taxing the rich.
What the
I'm thrilled
fuck?
To announce we've secured a pied-à-terre tax, the first in New York's history. Thrilled to announce we've secured a pied-à-terre tax.
Pied-à-terre tax? The fuck is that?
The first in New York's history. This is an annual fee on luxury properties worth more than $5 million, whose owners do not live full-time in the city. Like for this penthouse, which hedge fund CEO Ken Griffin bought for $238 million. This pied-à-terre tax is specifically designed for the richest of the rich, those who store their wealth in New York City real estate, but who don't actually live here.
I feel like stuff like this is fine for messaging because I know it makes people feel good, but my guess is this is going to raise almost no revenue. But if it helps you get the rest of your agenda passed, then I guess that's fine.
But even so, they're able to reap the huge financial rewards of owning property in, dare I say, the greatest city in the world. And most of the time, these units are sitting empty since, again, they don't actually live here. This is a fundamentally unfair system that hurts working New Yorkers. Now, it's coming to an end. This tax will raise at least $500 million directly for the city. It'll help fund things like free childcare, cleaner streets.
How many of these units are there that are empty? New York City annual budget. What would I guess? Hold on, let me see if I can get within even an order of magnitude. If I had to guess what the New York City annual budget would be, my mind wanted to say 10 to 12 billion, but I feel like that's got to be too low even. It's New York fucking city. I feel like they might spend a fucking $1 billion on NYPD. I'm going to guess 100 billion? That seems crazy though, just for a city, but it's New York City. That'd be crazy. I'm going to guess 50 billion. Fuck it. Let's see. New York City annual budget. Damn, is 120 billion. It's just a city, but it's New York City. This article says at least 13,000 properties would fall under this tax. They said there are 13,000 apartments of the ultra wealthy that could be taxed. One at 220 Central Park South, bought by hedge fund guru Ken Griffin for $238 million. I don't think I have anything against these types of taxes. I'd be surprised if it really would raise $500 million, but I don't know. I guess I don't know what the percentage rates are looking at. I feel like I would be mega triggered having unoccupied units in a city, though. I think that would trigger the fuck out of me. Actually, I hate it because I hate it when individuals do this, so I'll hate it when other people do it too. They're using real estate as like investment things, I think is a bad idea. Actually, I changed my mind. This should be a much bigger tax. Fuck these people. Get them out of here. Get them the fuck out of here. I think if I was living in a place like this and there are fucking empty fucking units that are owned by somebody, I think it would just trigger the fuck out of me. Do they post numbers? Like, what would the tax be? Is it like a percentage on the total value of the place? Or $500 million is nothing for New York City, and it's going to make a lot of people mad about taxes and leave, which is going to be damaging the wrong one. Well, first of all, $500 million is a decent chunk of change, especially for a city budget. Now, their total budget is $100 billion or whatever, but still, I mean, like $500 million is $500 million. You don't have to raise elsewhere. And this is only one thing they want to do. The nice thing, I guess, about this revenue generating tool is it affects a very, very small minority of the population, probably impacting people who aren't going to miss it too much. So you don't have to raise your ordinary rates or whatever on your normal residence, which is probably nice. Because in my mind, what you're saying is that it might make some people mad and leave. I would consider that to be positive. Like if you're not even living there, then fucking get out, then fucking leave. Unless somebody who's going to actually live there, rent it out. Fair, but it's still probably better for tenants that real estate management is around as an industry. I have no problem with real estate management or any corporations buying homes to rent people. I don't have any problems with that. It's people who literally buy a place and then don't use it. And it'll put downward pressure on, not that much probably, but a little bit of downward pressure on rents too.
Safer neighborhoods. As mayor, I believe everyone has a role to play in contributing to our city. And some, a little bit more than others. Happy Tax Day, New York.
Oh, fomoy. Dudes who make 20K a year in shambles. It's still crazy to me the caricature of like a conservative that exists in so many left-leaning spaces. Like people have no idea. The MAGA populist people are going to be aligned with these populist people on economic policies, I think way more than they realize they are. I don't think you're going to find like MAGA people defending idle landlords.